Well, I want to start off this morning by bringing you a greeting from Raheem Rahman. For those of you who do not know him, he is a young man from Sylhet, Bangladesh, coming out of a Sunni Muslim background. As a matter of fact, the very first believer, the very first true follower of Christ that Raheem ever met was 3 years ago when he moved to Hamtramck, Michigan. And would you believe that the very first church that he ever set foot in was Cranston Christian Fellowship in January of 2017 when I brought him with me to visit with you guys. And when we pulled into the parking lot, let me just tell you, he was freaking out. He was terrified. He had no idea what to expect when he would walk into this place. And let me just tell you, you guys, and in particular, the youth, did such a fantastic job of loving on him and demonstrating to him what it means to be a true follower of Jesus, that by the time the day was over, he was no longer afraid of church and Christians. And I want to tell you that 7 months later, Raheem Rahman became a follower of Jesus, and he wants me to express to you his gratitude on how you guys demonstrated to him what it means to live in relationship with the Creator God. More than just relationship, but fellowship with the Creator God. Let me just say to you that this is a massive contrast from what he had experienced, seen, lived, and been taught in Sunni Islam. I have a favor to ask of you guys. Would you pray for Raheem? Can you picture with me this possibility? What if he becomes like the Paul of Bangladesh? What if he continues to grow and mature and he gets a heart for his people and he goes back to that country? And we see a movement of the gospel take root among the least reached, massively, 163 million of them, with no movement of the gospel. Would you pray for him? Let me tell you, he is praying for you. He and I pray regularly for Cranston Christian Fellowship that you guys would continue to be salt and light in Rhode Island. So thank you for what you guys have done. Now that brings us to our sermon series that's called Contrast. And what we are attempting to do is, by looking at the letter of 1 John, is to discover what God reveals about himself and contrast that to what other people might think about who God is. Maybe even contrasting what we actually maybe think about God. Maybe correcting our understanding of who he is so that we can know him more personally and relate to him more deeply. And before we jump into the passage, we're going to be looking in 1 John chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verse 6 and 7 today. I want to remind you of the questions that Pastor Rick shared with us last week. The questions that he is asking us as a group of believers to think about as we go through this series. Love these questions. I wrote them down. The very first one: as a follower of Jesus, is our life or your life strikingly different? Powerful question. Do you work differently because you are a Christ follower? Can your coworkers see it? Because you say that you believe in this strikingly different kind of God, does it change the way that you honor other people? The way that you show respect to other people? Powerful. So we want to be meditating on these questions as we continue our study in the book of 1 John. So if we can pull up on the screen, verse 6. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. And then in verse 7, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is a staggering two verses. Unbelievable. To think that we can live in fellowship with the Creator God. This is staggering. He created everything. Trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. Beyond our comprehension, the creation. And He holds it all together while He's resting. He's not even breaking a sweat. We're talking about a being that is beyond. And He says to us, come and know me. Come be in fellowship with me. This is a staggering offer. It's quite incredible. Not too long ago, I took three guys out to dinner. One was a Sunni Muslim, one was a Shia Muslim, and one was a Zaydi Muslim. It almost sounds like a joke. You know, a Sunni and a Shia and a Zaydi walk into a bar. Almost sounds like that, right? Well, would it surprise you to know that oftentimes the Sunni, the Shia, and the Zaydi don't exactly get along? Nobody claimed that I was the smartest guy in the world because I decided to take them out to dinner anyhow. And so we arrive at the restaurant and we place our order, and sure enough, these three guys get into it. I mean, a heated argument breaks out. And they began to scream at each other. The tension in the restaurant was escalating, and they shifted into Arabic, and they're going at it. And I thought that they were getting ready to go to fisticuffs. And so I did the only thing I could think to do. I was like, time out! Time out! Whoa, guys, back to English. You know I'm not going to be able to follow you if you're speaking in Arabic. Well, it worked. It broke the tension. But then the Sunni guy looks across the table at the Shia and the Zaydi guy, and he says, hey, guys, watch this. I'm going to trap him. I'm like, wait a minute. Trap me? I thought we were coming out to dinner. We're going to have some great food. We're going to have some fellowship together. We almost break out into a fist fight. And now this guy wants to trap me. I don't know how many of you have ever watched the Roadrunner cartoon, Wile E. Coyote. Let me tell you that I was starting to feel a little bit like Wile E. Coyote. I have a little short video. Let's take a watch. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what's getting ready to happen? And so I say a silent prayer to God. I said, please help me. Please help me. And that's when he turns and he looks at me and he says, hey, John, who is Jesus? That was his trap. Now I have a question for you. Why do you suppose that a Sunni Muslim guy would think asking a follower of Jesus the question, who is Jesus, would be a trap? Ultimately, it is because his understanding of who God is, of who Jesus is vastly different than who we understand God to be and Jesus to be. And so, he thinks he has set a trap for me. Well, I have fortunately spent some time in the Gospels looking at Jesus, and you know what? Oftentimes, people would come to trap him with a question or some issue, and I learned from him that when that was what was happening, that he generally didn't go straight in to what they were asking. He takes a different tact. And so that's what I decided to do. But let me explain to you something about our Muslim friends on how they view life before I explain to you what I shared with my good friend. You see, they come from what is known as an honor-shame culture. For them, shame is worse than death. It is the horror of horrors. And here's the interesting thing. If they are in a position of shame, they cannot, on their own, move from shame back to a position of honor. Someone has to intervene on their behalf. Now, generally speaking, when they're in a position of shame, it is with a person, such as their father. And it can't be just anyone that would intervene on their behalf and go to their father, some stranger, someone who is not on the same level of the father, cannot perform this task. The only one that can perform this task is someone who is of equal standing, who is equal to your father. It has to be on the same level, equal to. Not only that, they have to be related to your father. So they must be equal to and related and be willing to intervene on your behalf to bring you from shame back to a position of honor, such as his, maybe your father's brother, the uncle. He might be able to do this task for you. So here's what happens. He asked me that question, and so I looked at him and I said, Shuka, you have a problem. You are in a position of shame. He's like, whoa, wait. And the other two guys are kind of scooting up because they almost remember they'd almost got into a fist fight. And they're sitting there thinking, oh, whoa, Shuka thinks he's going to trap John. Maybe the trap has just been turned on Shuka. This might be fun. So they are leaning in to pay attention to what's about to happen. And I say, Shuka, just, you know deep in your heart that this is true, that you are in a position of shame. And here's the bad news. You are in a position of shame with Allah, with God. His eyes are getting like as big as baseballs at this point, and the other two guys are starting to laugh at him. And I said to them, guys, you shouldn't be laughing because you're in the same position as Shuka. You are also in a position of shame. And it is with God. And if this is true, and we've just established that it is true, then you are toast. They believe in the hellfire. That's what they call it. And I said, so if this is true, Shuka, are you going to the hellfire? And he's like, I have good news for you, Shuka. You asked me, who is Jesus? He is the one and the only one who can take you from shame and bring you back to a position of honor with the Creator. Just told him that Jesus was God. Because he has to be equal to. I just told him that Jesus is the Son of God because he has to be related to. And all three guys were like, huh. And I said to them, not only does he have the ability to do that, he wants to do that because he wants you in his family. Quite a contrast from what they understand about God, because what they believe about God is this, that he is perfect and needs nothing. He has no needs. He's complete. Therefore, he does not need friends. He has no friends because he needs no friends. He has no fellowship with his creatures, because he does not need to have fellowship with his creatures. Quite a difference from what we see in 1 John. It says that we can have fellowship with him. It has to be on his terms, though. If we're in the dark, the darkness and the light cannot coexist. Where there is light, there can be no darkness. All of us, all of our Muslim friends, everyone resides in darkness. And only Jesus can bring us from darkness into light. Only Jesus can remove sin and place upon us righteousness. Only Jesus can move us from shame to honor. And when he does that, he says to all of us, now, come and know me. Come and spend time with me. Come into relationship with me. Let's have fellowship. When we get to the picture of heaven, it's a very great feast. A great feast that's thrown by God Himself. And we are all invited to break bread with Him, to have a party with Him. Quite a contrast between what many people, or how many people, view God. I will tell you a couple things real quickly. The Shia Muslim, his name is Jawad, and a while after this dinner occurred, I was with him, and I said to him, hey, Jawad, could you explain to me this Eid, this celebration that you Muslims are having right now? And he said, oh, John, this one was the one that was actually started by the Jews. This is the holiday of sacrifice where the people would sacrifice a lamb for the people's sin. Now, I am thinking, well, he has just given me an opening to maybe explain to him a little bit more about who Jesus is. But before I could say anything, he looks at me and he says, asks me this question. He says, hey, John, is it true that Isa el-Masih, Jesus the Messiah, is the final sacrifice? Wow. I almost fell out of my chair. I was like, Jawad, praise God that he would reveal this to you. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that he is in the kingdom yet, but he is at least close. Maybe he's in. The other one, the Zaydi Muslim, our friend Hamid, I was with him not long after this event, and I said, hey, Hamid, have you had any dreams? And he says, a matter of fact, I have. I said, well, why don't you tell me about it? He says, well, I was in Jerusalem. I was like, Jerusalem? What were you doing in Jerusalem? He goes, that's what I was thinking. I had no idea. But it was really strange, John. There was a river of blood. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, it was a river of blood. And what was really weird is there were a bunch of people standing in the river of blood, and they were wearing the whitest garments I had ever seen. They were blindingly white, John. And then I looked, and I was standing on the bank of the river, and I was wearing the most putrid, rotten, filthy, stinking clothes. And I was like, why are they dressed like that and I'm dressed like this? And I said, well, brother, I don't pretend to interpret dreams. But maybe God is trying to communicate to you that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And Jesus was crucified outside of Jerusalem.
And those that are standing in that river have been given the garments they're wearing because Jesus gave it to them. And the reason why you are not wearing those garments is because you haven't realized who he truly is. Now, Hamid is not in the kingdom yet, but let me just say that his entire family has been hearing about who Jesus is. The women on our team, including my wife, could tell you stories about his daughter, for example. And oh, so close it seems. They're from Yemen. 29 million people, no movement of the gospel. Could you imagine? God would bring them into the kingdom. Would you pray for them? Would you pray for us as we're engaging with our Muslim friends? And may I encourage you to take seriously the contrast who God actually is and who your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers might think he is. And would you pray for them? And would you work towards being a witness of that contrast to them? On that note, we will have the worship band come back up and lead us in the time of worship. But let me pray. Father, we are so ecstatic that you came to rescue us because you want to live in relationship with us, because you want to have fellowship with us. And we just give you praise for that. And we pray for the people that are in this room, that they're friends, their family members, their neighbors, their co-workers, that they would be able to see, just like Raheem did, some authentic followers of Jesus that live in relationship to the Creator God. And they might be able to see that, taste that, and see that it is good and be drawn into your kingdom. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.